This has got to be a lot of fun for you, considering the fact that, I mean, I know it's June, but when you look at what this team has gone through, some of the issues you've had, the way some of the games have been played, the division, everything, the fact that you went on a winning streak and the Yankees decided to go on a winning streak, got to be kind of fun for you right now, because a lot of things that you lined up are coming to fruition, aren't they?
Whenever you win games, obviously it's enjoyable. At the same time, and I don't want to make it like I'm a 20-year vet or anything, but I feel like I've been through enough of these that I've learned to be much more even keel over time. And don't get me wrong, you certainly enjoy winning and playing well, but you do realize that it is June, it is early, things can change in a week, and you're constantly just trying to stay ahead of things and staying on top of things and not overreact in the same way that I know some people were saying, well, we shouldn't be spot starting Scott Copeland because we have a winning streak and we're 500. And, you know, in fairness, today's game, there was no long-term impact to today's game. Whether we won or lost, a game over, a game under, we're looking at a six-month season, managing the roster, managing the team. This wasn't Game 7 of the World Series, and you know, we're trying to take the emotional element out of it, do what's right for the club. And it's when we did Todd Redmond, we were coming off that terrible road trip against the Astros. We had just gotten swept. Not easy to bring up a spot starter then, but we knew long-term it was the right move. So from that standpoint, you know, the only thing I could say is that you wish when you do win all these games in a row that the other teams in the AL East are having a hard time. But obviously New York had won as many games, and this whole stretch we only made up one game on them. So hopefully we can just keep things going.
Hey, Alex, after the game, we found out that Edwin Encarnacion had, I'm going to say, aggravated a shoulder injury. I don't know if that's even the right phrase. The shoulder that had been sore was sore again. What is Edwin's status? This is a couple of days after the cortisone shot, and, of course, he played last night and hit the walk-off home run. Is this just normal? Is this like something to be almost expected, or will this raise more concerns about the shoulder with Edwin?
I guess in fairness, I wouldn't say it's completely normal, but I know our trainers aren't concerned. I talked to them after the game. This whole shoulder issue had started. He didn't sleep right. He came in one morning and one afternoon, I guess, and just said he slept funny on his shoulder and it was a little bit sore. And it's in what's called the AC joint. I remember years ago, Mark Zepchinski had something in there and mm-hmm. he had an injection and it resolved. And obviously, he needed to use his arm a lot more than Edwin would. But they're not overly concerned about it. Obviously, the off day comes at a good time. They'll just adjust. Edwin felt like when he releases when it's a one-handed swing and he releases that top hand in the swing is when he'll feel it. If he has a two-handed swing, he doesn't feel it at all. And that's just something he needs to be cognizant of and stay on top of. And he feels very confident that as long as he has that two-handed swing, which is his normal swing anyways, he won't feel it. So that said, we'll watch some things, maybe have them take less batting practice, things like that. But they're not overly concerned about it. They think it'll resolve. And as of today, I think he's going to be fine to play on Friday.
Alex, Jeff mentioned the Andrew Miller news just before you came on, the strained forearm. Hypothetical situation. Say you're a GM and you're looking for bullpen help, and news like this comes down of the Yankees losing their closer. How does that affect the GM's job as he goes forward looking for help for his own team? Does it make it more difficult because there's maybe another team looking for more help? How does that affect the job?
Yeah, you know what? From an injury standpoint, I'd say trading for relievers or acquiring bullpen help in season, and I'm not helping my own cause by saying this, but it's the truth, mm-hmm. Is a lot harder than the offseason. And I know, you know, that leads to a million questions because certainly we're going to be in the market for bullpen help, but for various reasons in the offseason, there just weren't the right, you know, whether players chose not to come here, whether the contract wasn't right, whether, you know, on some players, there's times that you review their file from a medical standpoint and you have some concerns and you don't want to move forward. So those are all things that stay confidential and stay in-house. But any type of injuries, I don't think it changes because almost every team that has aspirations of getting to the playoffs wants to supplement their bullpen, wants to add to their bullpen at any time. So that said, it's normally a seller's market. It always has been when it comes to relievers, and that's understandable. So I don't know that there's really a change. I can't speak for New York, but from our standpoint, we're going to have competition for any reliever we try to trade for, because teams are always going to be on the hunt when you have a deep pen.
So for you, there's no perfect time to make a deal or to go looking for a deal? It kind of comes to you?
I don't know that there's a perfect time. I, from a preference standpoint, I always feel like the last day of the trade deadline, July 31st, it's chaotic. And it reminds me a little bit of the winter meetings. You feel very rushed. Everything's flying. The phones are ringing. It's like cramming for a test and when you didn't study. And I think a lot of mistakes can be made. And ideally, if it can work out that way, any deal that we're going to make, I prefer to make it prior to the 31st, even if it's a day earlier, because there's just a much better pace. There's no rush. You can be more thorough, looking through files, talking to doctors, things like that. When you have I remember we were making the Scott Rolen trade with the Reds, and that was right up to the wire, and it was chaos. It was fast and furious, and things almost end up falling apart. So, just like anything else, you'd want to have a little bit more time, but you'd rather do a deal sooner than later because you have a greater impact and you have the player for a longer period of time. If you're a seller, the longer you wait, sometimes you might get more. The risk you run is the player's performance can change or a player can get hurt.
Hey, Alex, we know that the Blue Jays at least had some degree of interest in Andrew Miller. I mean, we're led to believe that, whether or not he ever made an offer or whatever. There was suggestions there was some degree of interest. I know other teams did as well, and I mean, I've heard from at least one other team, a guy with another team, that they kind of pulled back because they had some concern about, quote-unquote, something we saw in the medicals. Just out of interest sake, was there anything in his medical that kind of made you guys maybe a little reluctant to pursue him?
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, just because of all the laws, it's something that very confidential. Anyone's file, you just can't openly discuss it.
Okay.
All I can tell you is just like with any free agent or any trade, you always review the files. And even beyond reviewing the files, whenever you sign someone as a free agent, they come in, they normally do MRIs, they get examined by their doctors and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes deals go through, sometimes they don't. I remember a few years ago when the Red Sox signed Mike Napoli,
right,
they found that condition with his hip, which they weren't expecting, and they got it resolved. They restructured the contract, and they got it done. But unfortunately, any free agent files that we looked at or spoke to, I could never get into the specifics if there was anything there.
Aaron Sanchez, we talked about, his start has been skipped. He's expected to start in New York City. John Gibbons said it was sort of general body soreness. No concern on your part that it's anything other than that right now, is there?
No, because we had talked, you know, at first, you know, we had talked, he was just tired and fatigued, and if we needed him to make the start today, he could have done it, but I think we learned from 2012 and 2013, and we really felt last year we were on to something with keeping our starters healthy, and we always talk about it, that we want to be proactive, and we want to make moves before we have to make a move. We want to be able to dictate when we have to make these moves, not because something goes wrong. So could we have had Aaron start? Was he ready to pitch? Absolutely. Would that have been the smart thing for him and the organization? Not at all. And Drew Hutchinson last year was the same thing. He was fine to pitch. He was fatigued. He was tired. Some of these guys, they're young. You know, they haven't had the workload. They haven't been through the grind. People talk about stress innings at the big league level, things like that. We're just trying to monitor to make sure they get through it. So from Aaron's standpoint, we're not overly concerned. We did talk about having him start against the Red Sox, and then ultimately I remember sitting down with Pete Walker and our trainers. The one concern was that the other four starters were going to have two extra days rest, which really throws them off. So we ultimately decided, you know what, why don't we just skip Aaron and move him to that. But if we didn't have the off day, we might not be doing this. If we didn't have the off day, we might be doing this, but have him move back three or four days. But we didn't want to affect the other four starters, because it seemed like one extra day is already a lot, and two really throws them off, and we didn't want to throw the other four starters too much off their routines.
Alex, what from your point of view is the difference in this team right now compared to, I'm going to say 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago? I mean, it seems to me that since the spot start of Todd Redmond, the rotation has just stabilized. It's to the point now where you almost expect 6 2/3 or 7 out of everybody, and that wasn't the case earlier in the year. What's the difference that you're seeing?
Well, I think just like you mentioned, I think the rotation, starting to get innings out of our rotation has been huge. the impact on the bullpen. You know, clearly, if guys can stay out there for a long time, they probably haven't allowed too many runs. But even in those games where they have allowed some runs, we've always said it. I mean, you'd love to have frontline starters 1 through 5. That's not realistic, and that's certainly not what our rotation is right now. But if we can get guys that can give us quality starts with our offense, we should be in every game. And you know, some of the analytics guys we have in the office will tell you we lost a lot of one-run games, and they would tell you that they strongly subscribe that there's an element of luck there.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that many one-run games and the one-loss record what it was, and that was ultimately going to even out. And if you look at the run differential of the team, I think it's third best in baseball, and certainly the best in the division. So you did feel like at some point things were going to even out. It's a long season. I know we keep saying that. And look, at the same time, we will have a streak where we lose another 4 or 5 games in a row between now and the end of the season. It will happen. I don't know how long this streak's going to last. Maybe it stops on Friday. But we do have a good club. We have a rotation that can certainly provide quality starts. We've got a very good offense. I feel we're a much stronger defensive club than we were a year ago. And that certainly has a big impact on our starters going deep. And I think the bullpen clearly needs work. We need to try to do some things. And most likely that'll be outside the organization. But we do have some talent there that if our rotation goes deep, we still should be able to put games away.
Alex, we just got a minute and a half here. Just want to ask you a very quick question, though. As a Canadian general manager, lots of Canadians went in the draft in these first 3 days of the draft. Some of them from places like Calgary, Saskatchewan, Manitoba even. Is the depth of talent across the country better than it's been in a while?
Oh, yeah, I can tell you this. I got to, when I was with the Montreal Expos, I was scouting coordinator in 2002, and then I got a chance because we didn't have an area scout for Canada. So I got to do the area. That was my area while also doing the scouting coordinator job in 2003. So I really got a good feel for the talent at the grassroots level, just the routine of it. Baseball Canada, Baseball Ontario, traveling across the country. And going out and seeing some of these players this past year, Team Canada and so on, the level of talent was the best I've ever seen it. And that's, again, I haven't been around that long, but I've been around Canadian amateur baseball, at least from a draft standpoint, for over 10 years. And it was a very deep crop. And what I don't know is this a precursor that it's really tipped and we're going to have elite-level talent coming in and year out. I don't know that I'm prepared to say that, but the guys that were taking, guys like Naylor and Soroka and even the kid Miles Gordon, is a pretty good-looking kid. He can really run. He's extremely young. Reminds me, it's very similar to profile to Dalton Pompey, but Naylor's got an unbelievable bat and power, and Soroka's real polished. Those guys are really talented, and it's been a great year for Canada.